HawkFanatic.com. This segment brought to you by Patrick Eads and the staff at Deary Brothers Ford on Mormon Trek. Steve Anderson, Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Mike's E-Keys for Cars. GT Car and his great crew at Supel's Building and Remodeling. Supel's Flowers, the home of 1-800-800-ROSE. The Midtown Family Restaurants. Senior Benefits. Wells Fargo Advisors, Premier Automotive in North Liberty, the Oxyoke Inn and the Amanas, Streets Maintenance, McCarran Painting, Dr. Lance Forbes, Diamond Dental in Cedar Rapids, and Big Dog Tech Solutions. Here's Tom Suter, and from HawkFanatic.com, Pat Hardy.
Okay, a rainy day in Georgia out there, huh?
And it will continue to be.
This is fine.
Today.
Yeah?
Yeah, this is perfect for rain.
So did we get much last night?
It resets. So we got, since midnight, 2,200.
Weren't we supposed to get like 3 inches?
Yeah.
We didn't get anything yesterday. I kept waiting for it to rain yesterday.
Thought it was supposed to, get up 1 to 2 inches.
Well, it hasn't yet.
No.
But no, it's been a nice sprinkle ever since I woke up at like 6 o'clock. It's just been kind of sprinkling. It's just what we need.
It is.
And I just did hear thunder for the first time.
Oh, it's going to be bad.
I know. I know you're praying. I know. But no, this was, because they said 2 to 3 inches.
They did.
And it doesn't.
Well, it actually looks like it's going to be a little farther south, Washington to Burlington.
Get that level of rain.
Because it hasn't really even rained hard.
Mm-mm.
I mean, this is like a sprinkle, a spattering.
I mean, it was raining enough when I walked the dogs this morning that we were all pretty.
But you still walked them. Had it been raining hard, you wouldn't have walked them.
Correct.
And the dogs were probably like, what the hell are we outside in the rain for?
Probably.
Yeah, I remember Buddy would not, he did not want to walk in the rain, and nor did I make him do it much. But he's not, no, I ain't going out. It's raining. Look up at me like I'm some idiot.
Yeah.
Well, we just got Bitsy groomed the other day, and her fur is real short, so she looks almost like a completely different dog.
Well, I saw a lady walking. She always walks by my house, and this was like 3 or 4 days ago when it started. When did it last just pour? I mean, it was not that long ago, and it only poured for, she was walking right in front of me, and it was not raining at all, then all of a sudden it just started
pouring. Poured for about 20 minutes.
On her and her dog. Then she started racing home. She lives a couple blocks. I felt sorry for them, because it was raining buckets on them. It went from being completely dry to just, boom, it just started pouring. And the dog even started running. It wanted to get home. And then yesterday, a big old deer got hit. And died right in our neighborhood, like four doors. And I was pulling, I turned right onto our street, and I think I saw its last movements and breath. I'm like, God. And it was massive deer. And then about 2 hours later, I saw the poor guy lifting it up in the truck and taking it away. But yeah, I didn't see who hit it. But what's weird is where that deer got hit, you can't get much speed going. I mean, there's a quick turn either way, left or right. And it must have just shot out. It's a weird place for a deer to get hit by a car. I'm assuming that's what happened.
And if it's not going that fast, you know, I'm surprised.
That I didn't see any blood. The deer looked completely fine other than the fact that it was dead. I mean, it didn't have any blood or any noticeable injuries that I could see. But, yeah, that's kind of unnerving when you pull on your block and see this massive deer breathing really hard, then it dies right now. I'm like, ugh.
I said that happened to me down in Florida about 30 years ago. We were riding bikes down there, visiting Ann's mom and stepdad, and a black cat got hit by the car in front of me, and I saw its last tail movement go down, and it was, that still kind of freaks me out to think about it.
It's not good.
No.
Yeah. Well, this show's off to a good start.
Well,
thanks to me.
On the other hand.
You going to give us some joy?
Yeah.
What'd your raccoon do?
I got a deer.
You got deer eating at your place?
We
do too.
Deer all.
Well, I've got them eating at my place too. They're just not invited.
They ate some plants and stuff that were growing.
They destroy plants.
I don't care.
My neighbor plants this really nice flower arrangement for me every year. They never touched it until this year. Every time she plants, they just come and eat it. But I did. I bought this deer repellent stuff that's plant friendly. I'm going to start using that
and
see if it works.
It actually works.
I've been told it works. Well, I didn't buy it. It just popped up in my house. I've had it for all these years. I'm going to see if it works because they're back. And then, yes, for the first time in a while, a raccoon pooped on my deck last night. It looked like a bunch of berries.
Happy days are here again. Yeah.
It hadn't been for it. It had been a while. And I've only seen one chipmunk in the last 2 or 3 weeks. You know why? Because we have two owls that just hover every night. They live in this tree across the street. They just fly low with their wings, just looking to kill. And their chipmunks are their, I think that's their, like, their
ribeye steak. Oh, I think that's like...
ribeye steak.
Yes, for us.
Yeah. And so, yeah, and it may be a coincidence, but even my neighbors who have more say they haven't seen hardly any. I think these owls have scared them away or killed them. And, man, owls are, they're wild to watch. Okay. The way they can move their heads all around and... I got into a stare down one with the one the other day, and I was walking towards it as it was sitting on the fence. Then it started to perch down like it looked like it was going to die. So I ran.
They're mean.
Well, this one looked like he was done playing, and
they are mean.
He gave me this little warning, like, "You come any closer, I'm attacking." So I walked away.
Lily hated the owls. We had an owl in the tree, and he just.
Well, I've heard stories of owls taking little dogs.
Yeah.
Seriously, like Bandit.
Wasn't going to take her.
Remember when Bandit Quest got taken?
Yeah.
But. Well, that wasn't by an owl. That was by a pterodactyl.
Driving to work yesterday, and two deer were going at it, doing deer
things.
I wouldn't want to see that, but I'd rather see that than see one get killed.
I had one. We had two in the neighborhood a couple of years ago, and I ran outside. Jan goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm taking a picture of these," and I did. She goes, "Why are you
doing
it?"
It on...
I think that's a good question to ask.
Then you probably raced to Facebook, didn't
Never
you?
Never saw it before.
Did you race to Facebook? I'm sure
no,
you put it on Facebook.
That belonged on Twitter.
Okay, I'm sure you raced to social media, though, and said, "Hey, look what I have."
So did you get the picture of the doe having a cigarette afterwards?
She goes, "Why are you taking a picture of that?" I said, "I never saw it before."
I'm sick of these animals. I'm sick of the poop. I'm sick of them destroying stuff. At least the birds haven't pecked my house this summer. That's one thing. The birds have left me alone this summer. But I got a battle being waged over on Arbor Drive.
Well, boy, nature isn't pretty, folks.
It ain't. No, I saw, I was doing a Google search for something, and one of them was a massive, some type, the biggest crocodile there is over in Africa, pulling a wallaby or something into the water and killing it. Like, that's, like, I want to see that. I don't want to watch that. There's tons of that stuff.
Boy,
on.
People like to watch that
I can't
stuff,
watch animals.
No, I can't.
No, I can watch a wolverine or a badger defend itself. Those are fun. Like, when you see a wolverine taking on, like, three bears or something, and the bears can't figure out how to counter this little tough little guy, I can watch that. But I can't watch, I don't like watching even cheetahs run down.
I love watching
cheetahs run on video, but I don't like it when they catch the thing and kill him. I just, that stuff, I've never been able to handle animal death. Other than the dog and the water horse. Yeah. That one. Now,
well, plus, he deserved it.
He deserved it, and we didn't see
it. And you didn't really see it.
It was left to our imagination.
Yeah, well, I imagined it, and that's why I haven't watched it.
Well, you would Shooter and I, or right, you wouldn't have a problem. That dog was a dick.
Dog was a dickhead.
He was a dick. I mean, he just took over that house. He wasn't really even invited. He came with the infantry and just took over. And he was a dick.
He was.
And he was a bully. Because
he was.
Crusoe was little when he was picking on him. When Crusoe reached full potential, that dog wanted nothing to do with him. But it was too late. And again, we don't know. Crusoe may have just said, "Move on, go away." The dog. You think he ate him?
I think he... I don't know if he ate him, but he saw it to his demise.
Because he was pissed at that time in the movie.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, all right, so
that really was a good movie.
On to the Hawks.
Okay.
Actually, that's funny. I had somebody reach out to me and said they watched it with their granddaughter, and they both absolutely loved the movie.
Oh, it's a good movie.
They said we were kind of rolling our eyes because you say a lot of dumb things on there, meaning this thing. But she goes, "Boy, you were spot on about that. We really enjoyed it." And she goes, "I watched it again."
Okay, so I know preseason polls and stuff are not your thing, but...
I actually wrote a column yesterday about it.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Iowa ranked 22nd, and I said that's mostly out of respect for Kirk.
Oh, wait, yes, I did too see it.
That's
yes,
mostly out of respect for Kirk, because, I mean, you can make a strong case for Iowa not to be a top 25 team on paper, and that's all we have right now. But the fact that they put them 22nd despite all their losses, that to me is a sign of respect for Kirk and the program as a whole.
It is. So 8 Big Ten teams in the top 25.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're ranked 22nd, but they're 8th in the Big Ten. There's 7 teams ranked ahead of them.
9 SEC. And then there's also 2 other Big Ten teams that received votes.
But so. That ain't good, though. 17 of the 25 teams are from 2 conferences.
No, it isn't.
That's just not what we need, but that's what's happening.
No, that's not what we need, but you're right. That's
but yeah, I was surprised because I heard Lang on here talking yesterday, just assuming that they were going to be in. And I'm like, be careful. I'm not sure, but he was right. I didn't think they were going to be in. I thought they'd be like 26th or 27th. Because guys, think about it. They lose their quarterback, 3 starters on the offensive line, 8 starters on defense, starting kicker, starting punter, arguably the best return specialist other than Tim Dwight in program history, one of the best in Big Ten history, and they lose their special teams coordinator. That is a ton of losses, and yet they still believe that they're a top 20. And I don't think they pay much. Coaches aren't paying attention to the schedule. This is just how they rate the team on paper coming into the season, and to me, that's a compliment to Kirk.
Well, I think the schedule is pretty manageable, you know, other than the big three in the middle.
There's a good chance they're going to be 0-3 in the Big Ten.
Yeah. Yes, there is.
And, you know, that's not certainly season-crushing, but that's the end to any...
The end to any playoff talk.
And that seems to be the only thing that people believe now that matters, so I don't agree with that.
No, we have to win one of those.
Because I got them going 8-4. I have them losing all those 3, but then I have them winning 5 of the last 6 games and only lost to Illinois. And those aren't, you know, I have them beating, who is it, Northwestern, Nebraska. They're not playing Murderer's Row that second half of the
Mm-mm.
schedule.
Purdue,
but there's a lot of mediocre teams in the Big Ten, and Iowa gets Wisconsin. That's that we just named 4 of the final 6. I'm trying to think of who else is
Northwestern.
Yeah, I mentioned them. Well, I saw their stadium. They had a
Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota. Minnesota might be the best of the. Well, Illinois. Plus, Illinois is there. If Illinois was playing here, I'd give Iowa the win. But I'm giving it to Illinois. But yeah, I've got them going. 8, I've got them 3-3, and then finishing 8-4, just like the 2008 team did. But if they could squeak out one of those wins in the first 3 Big Ten games, that, you know, that gives them a fighter's chance. But it's going to be tough. I guess the one you'd say is at Washington. But you really think they're going to win at Washington with DeMond Williams back?
Would I pick us to win at
I
Washington?
Wouldn't.
No. But I think we have a shot, and I think we.
Oh, I think you always have a shot.
Yeah.
But I think in all 3 of those cases, it's less. It's 30% or less. I mean, Ohio State is here. That's going to be, I mean, that defense, Iowa's rebuilt defense is going to be up against what could be on paper one of the greatest offenses in college football.
Maybe
you think about how, I mean, Jeremiah Smith's as good as any receiver the Big Ten's ever had.
Maybe Imani Hooker can come back for one more college game.
And Julian Sain completed almost 80% of his passes last year. But the other thing that Ohio State has is they've got good running backs, Bo Jackson. He's really good, and they've got most of their starters back on there. It's an interesting schedule. It's soft in some spots. It starts soft and ends soft, but that 3-game stretch is brutal to start the Big Ten.
If they can find a way to win one of those, then
if Washington was here, because remember they played Washington a couple. Was it last year?
2 years ago.
2 years, and they beat them pretty handily.
Yeah.
Now that team wasn't as good as they are now.
No.
Concerns me the most about Washington is DeMond Williams can do things when the play breaks down. The quarterback they had 2 years, wasn't it that Rodgers guy from Mississippi State? He wasn't as good a runner. DeMond Williams is really good at improvising, kind of like what Seneca Wallace used to do to Iowa, so that's my concern. But, yeah, I got him 3-0, then 3-3, then 8-4. That's how
I think that's,
they better avoid 3-0, 3-3, and 7-5. I mean, and that could happen.
That would be disappointing. But of course it could
ease. And, you know, the world's not going to fall apart at 7-5. Kirk shouldn't be fired. They shouldn't clean house and scorch the earth.
But, you know, that narrative's going to happen.
If they go 7-5 and the losses are all what we – let's say they go 7-5 and they lose to Illinois and Nebraska or something. It's going to be a S show around here. People will be miserable.
That's what happens when you have a 80-year-old coach.
Oh, you'll get some of that. I mean –
You'll get 80 years.
And if the quarterback doesn't play well, they'll be like, well, why didn't we go for a quarterback? You know, because
That's already some people complaining about that.
Well, I mean, they're concerned because neither quarterback has proven themselves. But you got to have faith in the coaches at this stage. If you don't have faith in them now, then what's the point in supporting them if you're going to question them? They believe that they have what it takes. I mean, I think Iowa is one of like two. I think Alabama and Iowa are the only schools that don't have a portal, didn't go out to the portal, that are using what they had from last season to determine the quarterback starting position for this season, if that makes sense. They didn't go out and get one in the portal. Now, I'm guessing Alabama's probably got a couple 4 and 5 stars waiting in the wings, whereas Iowa doesn't. So we'll see. I mean, I think we're going to see them both play a little bit too. And I know that goes against everything Kirk says, but I think these guys are so even. And I think you're going to want to keep them both engaged. I mean, because to me, whoever loses the job, and if they have permanently lose it, my guess is they won't be here next year. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do.
And that's no knock on Iowa. That's just the way quarterbacks don't start, they leave.
Yeah.
They find somewhere where they can start. So we'll see. Heglinski had the edge midway through last season. I think it's even now. I still have said that I think Heglinski will start the season opener, but, I mean, who knows? I mean, Brown certainly looks the part more than Heglinski does. 6'4", 218. Heglinski's small. And he's got a good arm, though. He likes to wing it. He's not a great runner. I don't think either one of them you would say is a great runner. So we'll see. I've got concerns, but to see them rank 22nd yesterday, that was a nice little compliment to Kirk.
I think so. And, yeah, I mean, you always like to see that.
Yeah, I mean, it's good publicity. It's better than not being ranked. Yeah, and, again, I think a lot of it has to do with who the head coach is.
So hopefully we do win those first three.
Well,
and then
if they're 2-1 going into that three-game stretch, that ain't good.
No.
Because that means the loss is probably to Iowa State. In what is a rebuilding year, I believe, for Iowa State.
Well, they kept almost nobody.
If they lose to either Northern Illinois or Northern, I just don't see that happening.
No.
I just don't see it happening. Iowa State, you never say never. We don't know much about them. They're kind of a mystery in some ways.
Yeah, that's true.
So there you go.
So we shall see. But and if we do start 3-0, then we'll be ranked higher probably than 22nd and gives people some hype for
And it really won't mean
Michigan.
And it really won't mean anything. No. To be honest with you, but
no.
Yeah, they just got to avoid being 2-1. What if they were 1-2? What if they're like their only win was Northern Iowa in those first three games? How would you be feeling?
And had to block three field goals.
Yeah. How would you be feeling going into that? So let's see. Who is it of the? Who's the first of the three?
As Northern Illinois.
I know, but who's the first of the big three is what I'm saying.
Oh, at Michigan.
It's at Michigan, then it's home against Ohio State,
yes.
And it's at Washington.
That's right.
Okay. I actually think Washington's going to be the hardest one to win, to be honest with you. I think they're gonna play above their heads at home against Ohio State, still lose. And I just think at Washington's going to be tougher. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. I think Washington's going to be pretty good this year.
I don't think you're crazy. Iowa hasn't played well out west.
It's a much more difficult trip than Ann Arbor. Don't get me wrong. I think Michigan's going to be good. I don't think Michigan's going to be a juggernaut by any means, but they're going to be good. That game at Washington, it's Friday night at, 8, 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
It's got all the ingredients for a egg lane session.
And unfortunately, it does.
Kirk's teams have done that out west.
They have.
I mean, not
Kirk's team alone, but that's, yes.
You know, Hayden, they didn't play well out west.
No, they didn't.
Things did not go well out west. Isn't that where, did Chuck Long puke on Hayden in Arizona, or was that at Kinnick? I can't remember that game when he puked on him.
I'm not sure.
Remember we had Chuck on the phone, Tyler. That's one of my favorite Chuck Long moments. He hurled on Hayden.
That's almost as good as Stevie Nicks hurling on Captain Steve's shoe.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Almost as good.
On my shirt.
On your shirt.
Was she drunk?
She steadied herself with her hands up.
Was she drunk?
No.
Sick?
No, she was stuck. Yeah, she was. And she just got off the bus and came into the
What year was
auditorium?
This, roughly?
Jesus. Yeah, 80.
Because they were in the throes of cocaine, and didn't they were, if you read about
it. She wasn't that night.
But, man, they had a reputation for.
They did.
At least her and.
It was in the 80s.
It was mostly her that had. I don't remember ever reading much about Lindsey Buckingham being a big, but I've read some stuff about her that she liked the stuff. Well, that's no mystery.
Yeah.
No, it is not.
Yeah.
But
I still got that shirt.
Have you
Should we auction that off? No, I haven't washed it. No. Yeah. Yes, I washed it.
You still have a shirt from the 80s? Hell, even I don't have
no,
that.
No, I don't have.
I may have a couple t-shirts.
I don't know where the hell this shirt.
I may have a couple t-shirts from the 80s. This one's probably from the 90s. This Grateful Dead shirt's probably from the 90s. I don't buy t-shirts like I used to.
It's an old KFMA shirt that I was wearing. People have offered me, you know, I had this box of KFMA shirts that were supposedly large, and they sat in that box so long that they were tiny. Yeah.
You know, they'd fit on monkeys.
But they were large at one.
See, I like t-shirts to fit big, too. I don't like snug t-shirts. I don't like that.
No.
I've always wanted them to be big. Then if you wash them and they shrink a little bit, it won't matter. Oh, I did realize I missed. I meant to go to cover Iowa Soccer Media Day, and I missed it. That's on me. So I'm thinking I'm going to reach out to Matt. I'd like to try to get their coach on. Dean Ward, their new soccer coach. I'm going to try to get him on. Yeah, they had soccer media day, and what was interesting I read was they were without a coach for a couple. I'm not sure what was going on, but Beth Getz helped.
Oh, neat.
And that makes sense. He used to be a soccer player and coach, and I think that's pretty cool, showing her versatility.
I think that's very cool.
But yeah, I'll reach out to Matt about trying to, and because I want to give some, you know, I want to give some publicity to these fall sports teams that get overshadowed by football, of course.
They do. We had our friends from our ex neighbors, Eric and Sheila, were with us a couple nights ago and had a good chat. Interesting, Wisconsin's first game is Notre Dame at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
And that's going to be interesting, though.
Yeah, I kind of wish Iowa would do something like that. Not necessarily at Lambeau Field, but I'd rather be playing. Although you probably would rather play Northern Illinois because you don't want to lose.
Yeah.
You'd rather play, if they gave you the option to play in Northern Illinois or Notre Dame in the season opener, who would you pick?
I'd pick the Huskies.
Okay, see, I'd pick Notre Dame.
Oh, well, most people probably would.
Because you like traveling the path of least resistance.
I do.
But that'd be an interesting, I've always wanted to see Iowa play Notre Dame. I wish they'd get a home and away series, but they won't do. I wish they'd play them at, like, Soldier Field. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, well, I'd sure try to go to that.
Oh, yeah, that would be a fun one.
And I'd love to have them in Kinnick, too, but...
Yeah, I think the chances of that, home and aways are tough now. Even like Ben says in basketball, like what Iowa's doing in basketball, they're getting these neutral site games against teams from other power conferences, which is good. I mean, it's just hard to get home and aways now.
It seems to be.
I don't understand their thing with NBC because, well, like last year they had
a few games
on ABC.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
But
I'm not sure how it works.
NBC claims to be the home.
They don't have exclusive rights to Notre Dame anymore. It doesn't seem like it.
Well, they're promos.
I know, but they're on multiple channels. But maybe those channels, I don't know, maybe they're somehow affiliated with NBC. I don't know. But I've seen Notre Dame on multiple channels.
Yeah, I've seen it on ABC. I know.
And of course, it's been on Peacock.
Yeah.
That's NBC, though.
But yeah. That's what I meant, an NBC affiliate like that.
But ABC, I don't get it, but they said, I just saw the promo saying.
NBC and ABC have nothing.
Of Notre Dame.
ABC saying that or NBC saying
it? NBC.
Well, that has been the case for years, but it doesn't seem to be now. Yeah. But maybe there's a simple explanation. I don't know. If anyone knows the TV industry, let us know.
Well, maybe they only get 8 exclusives a year on NBC. Who knows?
You know, and they've got that affiliation with the ACC. Don't they play at least 5 ACC teams a year? Isn't that kind of the football?
Something like that.
I don't know. I think it's, if Notre Dame's going to be in a conference, they need to be in the Big Ten if they ever do join a conference.
Except one of the most amazing things to me is Stanford being in the ACC.
It's just stupid.
It's ridiculous.
But that's what happens when money trumps everything. I mean, geography doesn't mean anything anymore.
And that's too bad.
But you know those teams in the West Coast deep down don't. I bet they don't like this. You think those USC players like flying to the Midwest and the East Coast every other week? It would get to be a pain in the ass, wouldn't it?
I know the guys from KTLA don't like it. I watched that.
But think about the media, how much the media that does travel.
Yeah.
How much they have to spend.
They don't like traveling to it.
And I don't think it can help recruiting particularly.
I think it hurts.
If you know half the time you're going to be flying across the country.
Yeah, if you're some hotshot recruit from the West Coast and you love that type of weather, and you'd rather stay on the West Coast playing opponents,
wouldn't you? I think so.
So, yeah, I think, I mean, more power to the Big Ten to be able to convince them to do it. But I just think it's unfortunate that the Pac-12 is now a bunch of teams that really aren't the Pac-12.
No.
I mean, it's just unfortunate that the league dissolved because of the push for television revenue.
And that's what it was because
that's all it is.
You know, you have an 8 o'clock start out west. That's 11 o'clock Eastern time, and they ain't watching. Most people ain't watching football anymore.
No, and these games played on Friday night. It'll be interesting that Iowa, that game in Seattle on Friday. I'm sure there'll be a ton of Hawk fans watching it, but there's also going to be some at high school games because they can't be in two places. And I've never liked Friday night. I'd rather them play Thursday night college games if they're going to do one during the week. I just think Friday should belong to the kids, but that argument has been crushed years ago. Yeah. I remember I wrote about it a while back, and it's that ship has sailed.
Well, and then you have your smaller conferences, you know, the Tuesday, Wednesday.
The MAC. I mean, yeah, the MAC rarely, as the season gets going, they rarely play games on Saturday, it seems.
Yeah.
Like.
I know.
That would be weird. But they have to do that to get their time on television. It's all about exposure and pushing your brand and getting money.
Well, and even though they don't have any power to do this, they're trying to enact legislation, the FCC, to control the games and get them off of streams. I don't think they'll ever be able to do that. But
don't they have other things to do, the FCC?
You would think, but they... I just read the article this week.
Government intervention is not the answer for sports.
Well, it's not the it really isn't the answer.
They don't need to be messing with the playoff and all the NIL, but they're going to.
Well, then there's yesterday it was announced that LSU sold 10% of their football team to a private equity.
Yeah, I just.
And that's just. I mean, that just doesn't feel good.
Eventually, the government's going to start buying percentages of teams. You know?
It just doesn't feel good.
It's just, it's a mess.
No.
It's a mess.
Well, and, you know, that appeals to get it off of streams appeals to a lot of people, but they shouldn't be, the FCC doesn't have any control over that crap, and they shouldn't.
And what I do get tired of those when, when some college head coach, this thing is a mess, this thing is, and then the coach is making like $10 million a year. they have no credibility in my eyes. I mean, that's just hypocritical. You're feeding off this mess, and here you are accusing everybody else while you're making all that money. When head coaches start complaining like that, now, Kirk's saying, I will defend Kirk in a way. I mean, Kirk's concerned about, and he tells you exactly, Kirk doesn't necessarily want he doesn't want NIL and all that stuff to stop. He just says there needs to be more structure.
Well,
there's a lot
right.
of these people that they're pissed that NIL's out there, that these students are getting paid. While I've never heard Kirk say these kids shouldn't be getting paid. But there's some head coaches, it's the inmates are running the asylum.
Oh, and that's a bunch of crap.
And that's a bunch of crap when you're making $10 million a year.
Yeah, and then they throw, they're getting an education. Well... You know,
and 30 years ago, that made sense. It doesn't make sense now.
No.
Well,
especially now when a lot of college grads, I keep reading, are going to be losing jobs to AI in the next. I mean, what did I read? Where it's 60% of entry-level jobs in 5 years may be gone?
Well, the AIs, they just had a story this morning. The AIs are attacking each other.
Yeah, I saw that.
What the hell?
Did you see that video of the Russian drone attacking that?
Yeah.
Vegetable salesman in Ukraine?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
No.
Oh, my God. That was I wouldn't have believed that if it was in a movie.
It chased them.
It chased him around this little vegetable stand.
Yeah.
And then dive bombed and blew up right next to him. Luckily, he survived. I could not believe that.
Yeah. Well, no, this AI crap.
That's a lot of energy and money to try to kill one person. I mean, it was just so bizarre. But
that is bizarre.
Drones are the way to go now. That's the fighting of the future.
And they're being run by AI.
But yeah, that was creepy watching that thing. I mean, it literally circled around, chasing him around in circles a couple times, and then it stopped and then dove right down by his feet and blew up.
Well, AI decided to do that.
Yeah.
Where it's supposed to blow up, you know, buildings and stuff, it decided.
What if AI ever gets a hold of our nuclear launch codes?
Well, it ain't good. I mean,
somebody may roll their eyes at that, but I wouldn't roll my eyes at anything.
I wouldn't do
anything. That's
because
what I worry.
That drone, through AI, decided to attack that one guy.
Yeah, one guy. He was running a vegetable stand.
Yeah, and I mean, and they didn't program it to do that. It programmed itself to do that. Yeah.
And it persisted too. I mean,
the guy
was a moving target, and this thing just kept chasing after him. Now the guy was not in the greatest shape in the world, but his only safety was running around the barrier because had he just took it would have just shot right at him if he had no obstruction. using his own vegetable stand as kind of a shield.
How bizarre.
Oh, it was.
That we're talking about a drone chasing a guy to try to kill him.
Yeah. You're going to someday, you watch, there's going to be a drone show up at a football game someday. You watch.
Hello.
Couldn't you see that?
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, guys. Engineer Tim, how's it going?
Going pretty good, Engineer Tim.
Who would have ever thought that Sarah Connor in Terminator 2, that movie is so close to becoming realistic. I mean, not in the full way that, you know, robots are going to take over the Earth and stuff, but there's a lot of things that you can relate to nowadays in that movie.
Well, fill me in. Terminator 2, I have no idea what that would have been about, so...
Well, you didn't see Terminator 2?
I think I did.
Isn't the one with the guy who disguised himself as a cop?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Well,
see
yeah,
that.
He came back and disguised himself as a cop. But the whole thing was, you know, there was a company called Cyberdyne Systems that basically engineered all this AI stuff. And you know, that was years ago when that movie came out.
And it went after people.
There you go.
Yeah.
Especially if you're...
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
But we still have Arnold
Sarah
to protect
Connor
us.
Knew what was going on back then. See you guys later. Bye.
Life imitating art.
Is that Linda Hamilton?
Yeah.
Yeah. But we still have Arnold around to protect us, don't we?
Arnold. Thank God.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, it did have drones in it. Things like drones.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. It
remember Phantasm?
I never
remember
saw
the movie Phantasm?
No.
You don't remember? How about you, Shooter?
No.
Hunter?
I never heard of it.
Phantasm? That had this little steel thing that would drill holes in people's foreheads. You guys never watched Phantasm?
No,
Lang,
no.
Did you watch Phantasm? Look it up. There's another movie I would recommend. No, you guys would hate it. It was one of those early 80s horror films that for some reason I found myself watching it a few times.
Well, and those are so bad, some of
good.
Them, that they're sickly.
But it had this thing that flew in the air, and it would come and hit your head and drill holes in your head.
Nice.
And I think it originated...
Sounds like my dentist.
And it was like it was at a morgue or something. I can't remember, but the movie was called Phantasm. And it was
fantastic. I remember the name.
It was fantastic.
And, you
and I watched it a couple times. Yeah, I watched it a couple times.
What the
hell? Haven't watched it for years, but I did. I watched it a couple times.
So does Doc Forbes drill into your forehead ever?
Never.
Save your Pat?
Never.
Never?
He's thought of it.
I bet, yeah.
Never had anyone drill into my forehead.
No. No, I wouldn't like that.
No. No, but Tim had a... I mean, it is, like, weird that... Yeah.
Oh, these drones. I never imagined we'd be where we are now as far as drones.
Well, and they're attacking. I mean, the AI are attacking each other. It's just.
Well, maybe they'll take each other out.
All you got to do, you know, either unplug it, reboot it, or just unplug it.
I miss the days when AI, you heard AI, all you did was think of Allen Iverson.
Yeah.
Those days are gone.
Hello.
Hey, Pat, like, of all your times you've been in post games and coaches that you've interviewed and asked questions to about games, when the time does come and like Kirk hangs it up, or I mean, think about the characters. Like, what if they get somebody like a Mike Leach or a Kurt Cignetti? Think of the questions and the stuff you could do during post game and spring interviews. Who's the craziest guy or the most off the wall answers you got from people?
Oh God,
I'd
have to think about that one. Well, Hayden was always pretty good.
Yeah.
Hayden was before the internet though, but no, I never did interview Mike Leach. I'm trying to think. I'd have to think about it. That's a good question. I'd have to think about that. I mean, Kirk's not one known for sound bites. That's just not his thing.
He's got a dry sense of humor.
He's got a dry sense of humor, and he said some things over the years. Like when I asked Kirk, you know, this was after they had won the two Big Ten titles, and I was at Media Day, and I asked him at Big Ten Media Day in Chicago one time, I go, can you maybe highlight two or three of your top moments as the Iowa coach? And he's like, well, I'll tell you what, number one is every time I get to leave this thing. And he meant he hated Big Ten Media Day when he had to spend. He goes, number one highlight would be driving in my car out of the hotel and heading back. I thought that was kind of funny for Kirk. But that's about as funny as Kirk gets. I'd have to think about that. Give me some time. I may come up with some. But again, I've never had a Mike Leach. I'm trying to think, who would you think of as coaches? Mike Leach is, he's the one they interviewed him at halftime, and he talked about Halloween candy for like 10 minutes, about his favorite. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Oh, he was very off the wall.
He was very off the wall. Yes, he was. And, Fran was not off the wall. No. Tom Davis was not off the wall. Alford was just awful. And, Licklider was just bizarre. There weren't a lot of these catchphrase moments, especially with Licklider. Spent most time looking at his head with his head buried, But I'll think about that.
Yeah, if you could, whenever you get a chance or you talk about it, I'd like to. Did you ever interview Bob Knight or in a conference? Or
I was in press conferences. I don't know if I ever asked him a question. I was probably in four or five Bob Knight post-game press conferences, and what I remember with most of them is he walked in, never sat, he stood there, just started talking, and lots of times when he was done, he would leave. There were a few times when he'd take questions, and it was usually there were so many people wanting to ask questions just from the Indiana side alone, you could never get one in, and then he was usually mean to almost everyone who asked questions. I'm not exaggerating. He was just
and
mean.
I would be afraid that he'd rip your face off.
I really wasn't afraid of that. I was more afraid of just being humiliated in public, but I never really had any need to ask him a question because there were so many other people asking questions, and again, there were two or three press conferences where he literally, when he was done talking, he just left, and that, nobody was going to ask him to. They were going to, hey, where are you going? And then there were other ones where he was just mean. Like the time with Alford in 2000, the famous one, I was there, that one where he told Curry Kirkpatrick, I'm sick of your S2, and he just went off on Steve and Sam. And that's back when we were still kind of on Alford's side, not thinking he was the awful person that he turned out to be. So we were all defending Alford then because Bobby Knight was just such a dick to him. He was so mean to him. And that was just a weird experience because Knight leaves and then he comes back in and tells you, if Alford wants to talk to me, tell him to stop scheduling press conferences. And I just scream. And I'm like, God, we got an 8-hour drive home.
I do remember him coming. Yeah.
He came back. We thought he was done.
Well, they covered that. I saw that.
Oh, that was all over ESPN. And I remember Steve Batterson and Don Doxie were standing right there by the doorway, and all of a sudden Bobby Knight comes charging back in. Just, you tell Stan and Steve to stop having goddamn press conferences and maybe we can talk. But it was just like, Jesus, this guy's nuts.
He was.
The other night I was watching a bunch of Mike Leach videos and look like spring ball interviews and just the stuff that this dude was talking about, and for some reason I had to call him because the only thing that I could think that popped into my head was I wish Pat could ask this dude questions.
Oh, I would have had fun with that. I would have asked him music questions. I've heard him talk about music too. That he would have been fun because he wasn't mean. He was weird and off the wall, like you said, but he wasn't confrontational and mean. Bobby Knight was just a jerk. He was just mean. And I got in toward the end of it. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. That's a good question. And I got into it by 1992 when I started covering. Bobby Knight had less than a decade left. He had already scorched the earth with his meanness. But in the end, he was just even worse. But again, I remember feeling sorry for Alford that day because I didn't know. Alford and I weren't enemies at that point. We hadn't had anything that kind of drove us apart at that point. And I just didn't think Bobby Knight treated him fairly at all. Now, Alford did enjoy the publicity. I think he did soak everything he could out of his return to Indiana to push his brand. But, that was his business to do that. I just thought Bobby Knight could have treated him and his dad a little better.
I'm
defending Alford.
Yeah,
Kevin.
And everybody else.
Yeah, he was just a bully, just always in a bad mood. I've heard stories about him yelling at secretaries and stuff. I remember somebody who's not in the media anymore telling me they were waiting to interview a player and they could hear Knight just screaming down the hall at some support staff, just screaming. Everyone talks about Fran. I've never heard anything like that about Fran.
Mm-mm.
I've always heard that Fran treated the people that worked for him really well. Fran just would lose it during the course of a game, that emotion just from that moment, whereas Bobby Knight just stayed that way all the time. Fran would easily move on after losing it.
Well, was it true that then he went into the bathroom and then came out and threw toilet.
And says, "This is what you're playing
toilet
like?
Paper."
You're talking about Bobby Knight?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. And I remember when he said, "You know, if you're being raped, you may as well just try to enjoy it."
Yeah.
Maybe that
I
one.
I mean, Jesus.
He said that on a national interview. That's just asinine to say that. It's caveman mentality.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
It's a good.
Yeah.
So let's take a break.
Yeah, this is a good time. We'll be back in a few minutes with some more good stuff.
If AI doesn't attack us first.
Well, it might.
1-800-800-ROSE. 1-800-800-ROSE, your FTD florist, is the only number you need to know to send flowers anywhere in the country or Canada from anywhere in the country. 1-800-800-ROSE. It's so easy. Just remember one number. 1-800-800-ROSE, your FTD florist. 1-800-800-ROSE. Remember.
Don't wait for an emergency to get a backup for your car keys. Unlike the olden days, car keys have gotten extremely complex. Mike's eKeys for Cars can generate the most technically advanced automotive keys that are on the market today. For spares and lost keys, Mike's eKeys for Cars can produce most conventional transponder, high security, and remote head keys. Mike's eKeys for Cars will keep you on the road. Call 319-330-9185 and schedule an appointment today. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 319-330-9185 today.
For a gift that your loved one will treasure for a lifetime, find it at our family-owned jewelry store in Iowa City, Pertine and Stocker Jewelers.
We can show you diamond engagement rings, colored stones, fashion jewelry, and watches.
Our jewelers are on site, so we can design jewelry for that special person in your life.
We are Pertine and Stocker, serving Iowa City and the surrounding area for three generations.
Pertine and Stocker Jewelers, downtown Iowa City, and PertineandStockerJewelers.com. Ask for Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of us is always there.
When someone is kind enough to share their time with us, we better make it worth their while.
They don't want to do the, people call it the game, right?
Patrick Gaides and Terry Adams of Dairy Brothers Ford talk about what Here For You means to them.
You don't have to spend a half a day in our dealership to get that good competitive price. We just want to try to deliver that to you up front.
And that makes me feel good. Makes me proud.
Because that's what people want. They want a fair, honest deal.
As far as the statement Here For You, we want to not just say it, but live it.
Find out what it means to you at Deary Ford in Iowa City.
Ready to transform your home with a fresh look? McCarran Painting is known for unique designs and color expertise honed over 20 years serving Iowa City, offering high-quality interior painting services and a commitment to doing things right. As a local, woman-owned business, McCarran Painting provides free estimates, honest evaluations, and clear communication. Their attention to detail and dedication to treating every home like their own is what keeps customers coming back. Call 319-325-1686. That's 319-325-1686.
If you're looking for a trusted insurance guidance from someone who truly understands your needs, you can turn to me, Tiffany Rao, independent insurance agent. I specialize in Medicare and senior products, and I also offer coverage for those under 65 through the ACA marketplace, along with long-term care and cancer insurance plans. As a proud second-generation insurance professional, I bring local expertise and personal touch you can count on. Call me today at 319-631-4795, and let's find the coverage that's right for you.
GT Carr, owner of Supple's Building and Remodeling, has been offering unmatched service and quality for over 25 years. The trained professionals at Supple's Building and Remodeling will install and guarantee the products used in any job, no matter how big or small. They also stand behind their work and offer no-nonsense, exceptional customer service from design to completion and beyond. Whether it's a simple window replacement or a major house addition, you'll have the confidence that Supple's Building and Remodeling is committed to quality. Visit supples.net or call them today at 319-337-2246. When you go to a family restaurant, you want three things. One, a wide selection of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items. Two, you want those selections to be affordable and delicious. And three, you want to be treated like family. You get all three at the Midtown Family Restaurant. Breakfast items available anytime the doors are open. Legendary tenderloins, onion rings, and hot roast beef sandwiches. Daily specials at each location, and no matter if you're coming in solo solo or with a group of 20, you get the same special family treatment. The Midtown Family Restaurants at Court and Scott Streets and at the Walmart Plaza on Highway 1 West. Follow them on Facebook or at MidtownFamily.com. The family's waiting for you.
This is Leah Pesha, and I've been saying, hit a deer, call Premier, for years. And it works. Deer divots and dings do damage, but Premier Auto will do right by you. That's what my dad Nathan's driving at and dreams about. Do yourself a favor. When your car is dinged, be a deer and call Premier. The deer don't like Premier, but you will. Premier Automotive, North Liberty's Premier Auto Body Repair Shop.
Hit a deer? Call Premier.
Don't let just anyone take care of your smile. At Diamond Dental, you can expect compassion, expertise, and a personalized care plan to protect your teeth for life. With more than 30 years of combined experience, Dr. Forbes and his staff are prepared to tackle even your toughest dental problems, leaving your smile healthy and sparkling. Diamond Dental offers a full range of general and cosmetic dentistry, as well as dental treatment options for snoring and sleep apnea. It's never too early to start thinking about what's best for your smile. Schedule an appointment today by calling 319-390-3703 or visiting the office at 5815 Consul Street Northeast, Suite D1 in Cedar Rapids. You can also visit DiamondDentalPC.com for more information. Dr. Forbes is a proud sponsor of the Hawkeye Wrestling Club and the Inner Circle. Let the Diamond Dental team provide superior care for your entire family.
Dear U of I, just a note to let you know, if you're ever thinking about selling Kinnick Stadium or Carver Hawkeye Arena, please consider Hawkeye Title and Settlement. We're here to provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services. Signed, Hawkeye Fan Forever, and send. Hi, this is Steve Anderson with Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Whether it's a large commercial property or if you're buying your first home, remember, we're here to help. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services of Iowa City. You'll love our team just like you love the Hawks.
Your life is always changing, and a lot of things can affect how and what you save. So a good retirement plan changes with your life. At Wells Fargo Advisors, we believe conversation leads to financial clarity. So start a conversation today. Wells Fargo Advisors. Together, we'll go far. For information locally, call 338-3799 or 866-217-2369 or stop by 501 12th Avenue, Suite 201, Coralville. Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC, member SIPC.
Hi, I'm Jim Street, owner of Streets Maintenance. As a licensed, insured, and bonded master plumber, I specialize in all plumbing repairs, including but not limited to water heater and sump pumps to toilet and faucet repairs and replacements. As an Iowa City native, I know how frustrating it can be when any part of your plumbing system breaks down. That's why I only use trusted brands and quality materials. I offer same-day, next-day service coupled with a fair price. I also offer general services to mobile homes. For more information about my business, I'm online at streetsmaintenance.com and Facebook, or give me a call at 400-4483. 400-4483.
Streets Maintenance. Honest plumbing at a fair price.
If you live outside the city, you already know the struggle. Slow internet, drop calls, endless buffering, and promises from providers that never deliver. Well, now, things have changed. Big Dog Tech Solutions is proud to now offer Starlink Home Internet, bringing high-speed satellite internet to homes, farms, shops, cabins, and RVs across eastern Iowa and beyond. Starlink delivers fast, reliable internet where traditional providers can't. And Big Dog Tech Solutions makes it easy, setting up installation, networking, Wi-Fi setup, and local expertise you can actually call and talk to. So whether you're working from home, streaming TV, running security cameras, gaming, or just tired of terrible internet, it's time to upgrade. Call Big Dog Tech today at 319-395-0800. Or go to BigDogTech.net, that's BigDogTEK.net, and ask about Starlink, technology that works where you live.
Hello, this is Bill Eichstring from the Oxyokin, inviting you to a place where you have your choice of four portion sizes. When you order our famous family style, you can take your leftovers home. You can make reservations online at Oxyokin.com, or by calling and speaking to a person at the Oxyok. Compared to other places, our private banquet rooms are more affordable. But most important, our fresh food is prepared to order, and our servers have a passion for serving you. At the Oxyok Inn, we have been practicing since 1940. Go to oxyokinn.com for serving hours, menus, reservations, specials, events, carryout orders, and gift cards. Oxyoke Inn, in the heart of Amana, where you'll always leave happy.
The Oxyoke Inn.
News. I'm Sherry Preston. The Associated Press is projecting that Michigan progressive Abdul El-Sayed has defeated moderate Haley Stevens in the Democratic primary for an open Senate seat. El-Sayed telling his reporters last night he knew his opponent spent a lot of money.
We didn't know that they were going to outspend us $11 to $1. And yet we're still standing.
The contest, a signal of the Democratic Party's direction. Political experts say the real test of El-Sayed's strength will come against Republican Mike Rogers in the fall. London police have arrested a woman after four people were stabbed in Covent Garden, a busy central area popular with tourists. President Trump says a deal to reopen the Strait of Hormuz could come as early as today. Oil prices initially easing on hopes that an agreement has been imminent, but later inched upward. The market's also hopeful this hour. This is ABC News.
KCJJ Weather, brought to you by Plum Supply.
Plum Supply, kitchens and baths. Your home never looks so beautiful.
Meteorologist Rodney Price, showers and storms carrying on through the afternoon. One or two of those could be strong, and some heavy rainfall, not out of the question. A light west wind will develop with highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, skies turning partly cloudy, dropping back to 60. On Thursday, becoming sunny, highs will be nice and warm in the lower 80s. That's the forecast on the mighty 1630 KCJJ. Right now, it's 67.
From the Hertine and Stocker Studios, in the heart of the Hawkeye Nation, this is the mighty 1630 KCJJ, Iowa City.
Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, making memories, making moves.
We're back.
We are back.
Back.
Tommy Lang, put that mallet down.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, the rain's kind of settled down a little bit out there.
Phantasma. Whatever.
Phantasm?
Yeah. Some guy said he saw that and he wouldn't go to a Sears for fear the Craftsman tools would take over.
Yeah, I don't like movies like that.
I ain't watching anything where the Terminator movies were good movies if you like science fiction. At least the first two.
Like some.
Yeah.
I saw the first Terminator and it's just not the kind of movie that I like.
Yeah.
It just isn't.
Yeah.
So
I liked the first one. The second one was better when Arnold was the good guy. The Terminator.
Turned out to be
the good guy. He really, you know, he's the kind of Republican we need to get back to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, seriously.
Oh, no, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad he couldn't run.
Yeah, he was at least somewhat normal.
He did a lot of good in California.
Yeah, I think so.
Who are you talking about?
Arnold.
Arnold.
Oh.
Yeah.
You see, I didn't pay attention.
Yeah. He was, I mean, as a politician, as a Republican, he was pretty much down the middle.
Was he?
Yeah. So.
Not much of that left anymore on either side, it seems like.
It doesn't seem like it, does it?
No.
Yeah.
The extremes seem to be what pushes all the attention now. So, all right, enough with politics.
I'm with you.
Back to the Hawks.
All right.
I've been thinking back to that question. I'm just trying to think of any, like, really fun moments with head coaches saying funny. I do remember when Jim Coletto, when Purdue beat Iowa back in, like, 1992, and Halas had written some column saying that they had no chance to beat Iowa. And Halas wasn't there that day. He was actually covering a Division III game or something. And Jim Coletto's like, yeah, who's this Mike Halas guy? He goes, just let him know he doesn't know his ass from a hot rock. But then Coletto, I ended up getting fired because he couldn't win there. But that was one that stood out. But there haven't been a ton of funny moments. There were with Hayden, but, you know, I wouldn't – say, like, again, Kirk's not really a funny coach. Can we agree with that? He's got a dry sense, but
yes,
he doesn't.
We can.
He doesn't use his sense of humor much. He's not. He's not out there trying to do a comedy act. And that was just Mike Leach. I mean, Mike Leach was in a class all by himself. I mean, I would imagine if you covered Bob, the times I've been around Bobby Stoops, I don't find him to be overly funny.
No.
You know, I mean, and most coaches aren't.
When they opened up a riverboat in the Quad Cities, and Hayden was there with Johnny Orr, and honest to God, those guys were just great.
Oh, they were great together.
So damn funny.
Yeah, see, I never covered Johnny Orr, but he would have been funny. Fun. Yeah. I mean, he called everybody coach and what have you. Johnny Orr had a good sense of humor, and he and Hayden played off. Gene Cady was, I've had some fun moments with Gene Cady. I've told you the story about when he called me when I was in the shower, and he's like, well, dry off and let's get this thing done. And Gene Cady waited for me to get dressed from a shower on the phone. And of course, that was long before the internet and all that stuff, and I'll never forget that.
That's funny.
Now, I do remember when Alford called me at the Press Citizen and said that I was evil and have to be closer to God. Now, I wouldn't say that's funny, but I laughed.
That is not funny.
But I laughed. I remember Rob Howe was listening. He was sitting at the cubicle next to me, and he's like, what is going on? I mean, it's Alford. He's telling me that I'm evil and I need to find God.
And he wasn't kidding.
No. He was. I had written. It was really the first negative thing I had written about him when things started to spiral a little bit and the Pierce stuff was up. And he called me at the office and just read me the riot act. And I remember just saying, okay, are you done? I mean, and we were never the same after that. But, yeah, he said I was evil and that the only way I could help myself was to get closer to God.
Yeah. Wow.
He said his lawyer was, the Des Moines lawyer, Elf.
That wasn't his lawyer.
Parrish.
That wasn't his lawyer. Alfredo Parrish was not Steve Alford's lawyer.
Was he the...
I think he Pierce's was representing. I'm guessing he was representing Pierce.
Yeah, he did say, called up here and said something to Anthony that was like a biblical thing too. He quoted some biblical verse because Anthony knew that backwards and forwards.
Yeah,
and you know, said we better take the stories down and all this, but threatening. But it was, yeah, he quoted some biblical verse.
But yeah, I don't like it when people start forcing their religion on you. Who's offered to tell somebody that they're evil, you know? And I've been to church enough. I mean, I don't need him to tell me about how I should strengthen my relationship with God. That's my business.
But I agree with you 1,000%.
To me, religion is a personal thing, and how you choose to do it is your decision.
Well, he's judging you.
He was always judging.
Yeah.
You know, he wore that "What would Jesus do?" bracelet, and I just, what he would do is
judge not,
something other than what you're going to do.
Yeah, judge not, lest you be judged.
Alford, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. What's good for thee is not necessarily good for me, or what have you. But yeah, no, there wasn't much fun during the Alford time as far as laughter either. And
now there's got to be some coaches that
I'm trying to think. Bo Ryan was a dick.
A complete dick.
I didn't like him. Joe Paterno was a dick even before all that stuff broke. He was always rude, and, you know, he had this big posse around him when you go to the Big Ten stuff, and he just was never very nice. He just always seemed irritable about having to be there, which, you know, it's part of the job. If you don't like it, retire. That's what I used to get a kick out of these coaches that complain about it, and yet they coach for 50 years, you know? I mean, But no, they're really,
Well, Johnny Orr was.
Barry Alvarez was a dick. He wasn't, at least around me, he wasn't funny. He was kind of standoffish and kind of chippy.
And when Orr and Hayden started telling stories, I mean, you could hear a dime drop. I mean, we were just all, they were damn funny.
Well, and that's also what they were supposed to do in those moments, too. They were, and a lot of, you know, they'd go and do that, what was the golf thing out at the Amana thing?
Yeah,
they'd,
the Amana VIP.
It'd be Johnny Orr, Hayden Fry, and Goover from Andy Griffith. You know, they'd be playing through on green number 10 or whatever. Those are always fun. George Lindsay used to go to Goober.
Yeah, yeah,
Goober
yeah.
used to go to that.
Yeah, Johnny Orr and Hayden were two entertaining coaches.
Tom Izzo, I remember he's made me laugh a couple times, but I wouldn't call Tom Izzo warm and fuzzy and funny either.
No.
I don't think he's mean, though.
No, I don't think he's mean. Yeah. No, he's not a bully. He's just not a stand. He's not Mike Leach.
Hello.
Hey, dudes.
Yeah. Hello.
Hey, I can tell you what Jesus wouldn't do.
Jesus wouldn't go to a lawnmower store and expect a free riding mower.
Yeah, that's true.
I agree with that.
Or intervene on a sexual assault charge and try to get the two people to meet outside of the court. Isn't that what he did?
Yeah, if I remember correctly.
I'm not willing to drag the comparison into that topic.
But that topic is what really ruined it for a lot of Iowa fans. Sure. It was how he handled the Pierce situation.
He was a morally bankrupt person who had a very, very great father. Sam Alford was a stand-up guy and a quality human being.
He hated me.
Sam did?
Yeah. He did not like me at all. I've been told that by he did not like me at all.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I think that was more the kids' problem.
I remember when they got beat, they got one of their good teams actually lost to somebody at home that they shouldn't have lost to. And one of the media people was walking to the tunnel to do the post game and was way ahead of me. And he was right behind Samuel. He goes, yeah, now we got to win. That damn Hardy's going to do nothing but write about how this. He was already worried about what I was going to write about right after the game. That's just, those people thought about the wrong stuff. But yeah, Sam was defending his kid. I get it. It's his son. I get it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You guys have a good one.
All right.
Thanks, dude.
Well, I'll never forget that. Sam Alford's down there worried about what you're going to write about. I'm going to write that they lost to a team they shouldn't have lost to. I can't remember. It may have been a bad Michigan team that beat them at home one time, and it was not a good loss. But, you know, it's not like I was, oh, God, this is great, man. I get to kick Steve while he's down. Well, you know, you report the facts.
And it's so ridiculous if that's the main thing on the, you know.
But the Pierce thing, though, I mean, if anyone objective, he handled that so poorly. When he came out and said, I think he's innocent, before, I mean, it was just, he was just in over his head at the time.
Well, for him to want the victim, you know.
To meet outside of the court system and what have you, he was trying to manipulate. He was trying to get this thing to kind of go away as quickly as he could without affecting the team, and it just wasn't going to happen.
Well, that's what killed it for Ann for a while, right?
Yes.
Well, did it kill her the first time or after he came back on the team and then assaulted somebody down in West Des Moines? Because remember, my niece was involved in this too, guys. He tried to break into her room, and that turned out to be a story that went public. And, hell, I remember the L.A. Times called me after I wrote that story. Because I tell you, my brother, when he called me, he was going to drive up here. My brother was in his early 40s then. He was going to look for Pierre, and he was, you know, God knows what he would have done. And luckily, cooler heads prevailed. But no, there was just a lot of stuff that was personal. That's why I quit covering the team on a beat basis while he was still here. It just wasn't working.
Yeah.
But yeah, those were, I mean, but yeah, none of that was fun. None of that was Mike Leach fun.
No.
You know, but there really aren't. You think Nick Saban, I mean, Nick Saban is another one that has a dry sense of humor, but 80% of the time he's mean and gruff and miserable. Wouldn't we? Yes. I've seen him be funny. I've never seen Barry Alvarez be funny.
No.
I mean, I've just never seen that guy do anything that makes me laugh.
My mom always claimed he had a cruel face.
Well, Nick Saban on those commercials where, you know, they're doing the B&B.
Yeah.
Those are hilarious.
They are.
But they're playing off his mean, gruff exterior.
No, that's he's good
at
those.
And he's good at it. Yes, I mean, he's really good at it. But now Barry Alvarez, I mean, he just always seemed just kind of, you know, your typical angry football coach. But I'll tell you, he was successful.
Yeah, he sure was.
But he also retired 21 years ago. Can you believe that?
21?
His last year was 05.
Wow.
That's crazy to think that. Yeah, I was surprised that he retired as quickly as he did, but he wanted to be the AD. He had other plans. And if they ever do decide to have a governing body for college football, I think Barry Alvarez or Nick Saban would be a great choice to lead it. I think both of them would serve that role well, but that's just me. Yeah. And there's a lot of people that I think could do something like that. Now, Brett Bielema, I'm guessing if Brett was the coach and I was covering, we'd have some fun. Brett would be fun. But Brett's never, you know, he's never been the Iowa head coach, obviously, so I haven't had that opportunity. But Brett is one. He's not Mike Leach, but Brett can be out there at times.
Well, he was sure a good interview, wasn't he?
Oh, he was a great interview when we had him on the radio. But he was funny, but he was also very emotional, too. But Brett's got a good sense of humor. He doesn't take himself too serious. But in response to our caller, that would be one who I think would be able. But again, not Mike Leach. I mean, there's been few Mike Leaches, you know. And Evie, I don't think Evie was, he wasn't a lot of hugs and giggles.
No.
How was Evie to the media? I mean, obviously you don't remember. You weren't old enough.
No.
But I'm guessing he was probably a little intimidating to the media.
I'm guessing. Yep.
Back then, did they do the same thing? Did they have one press conference a week during the season? Do you know, Tom?
I can't.
I assume they probably did. And did your dad go to the press conferences?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
So my guess is Evie was probably had a little intimidation factor going for him, because I don't think he was like Bob Knight. I don't recall. But I've heard some stories about Evie.
Well, I thought that his daughter said that.
He could be mean at times.
Yeah, and she said that.
She did say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't sugarcoat. She said he could be mean and intimidating and, you know, very forceful, and that was part of his mystique.
Yeah.
I just, for curiosity, wanted to see what Pierce was doing, but there's nothing on him past 2015 when he played in France.
Yeah, last I heard he was a basketball instructor or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, but he did go overseas and play. The thing that was sad about the whole thing from him, he was a good player. Wasn't a great shooter, but as far as just being an all-around physical, athletic
player,
he was a really good player. He had issues. And when it hit home with me with my niece, when he just would not leave her alone, then you kind of knew this guy has freaking issues. They got to get him under control.
Mm-hmm.
And it backfired. They let him back on the team, and he did it again. And then, so was Ann done by, again, I can't remember what you said. The first one. So,
yeah,
by,
absolutely.
So the second one, that was just more proof for her to just keep staying away.
Yeah. She did not support Alford for a second after that.
Did she come back during Licklider, or did that drive her away even more?
No, Ann didn't go to very many games. She went to some, I think, but not very many.
Yeah, Lick was not exactly the right way to get energy back.
No, but it was
a decade of Alford and Lick, 7-3.
Yeah.
Now, there's people that'll swear. I mean, Adam. I get it. Adam will swear by Alford was great to Adam Hluska.
Helped his career.
They have a good personal relationship, and more power to him. But, you know, things are different for different people.
Hello.
Going back to press conferences and stuff, there's a great Hayden Fry one. If you Google Hayden Fry bitchy press conference, you'll find a really great YouTube video where he goes after Ploss and all these different people for just not returning phone calls or something or other. I don't know. It's really funny, though.
I was probably there. Yeah, he went after...
Yeah, you might remember.
I don't remember. He went after me one time. I was the story one time, my first year on the beat. I had written something that I probably shouldn't have written. I admitted that, and he attacked me, but he never held a grudge. Now, I think partly I had an advantage because my brother had played here, and I think that kind of gave Hayden the benefit of the doubt with me, but I had pissed him off that day. I remember him yelling at Mark Hansen. I don't remember him ever really yelling at Mike Halas individually, but yeah, no, Hayden used the media as a psychological ploy. He used it to distract from what was going on the field. He used us. I mean, he was a psychology major. Everything Hayden did was calculated.
And
check out that YouTube video.
Okay.
Have a good show.
Yep. Thank you.
But no, I remember when he said, Pat, where's Pat? And I had moved. I usually sat in the front row. I'm like, because I had been warned by some people with the football program, he's coming after you today. He didn't like what you wrote. So I sat in the back, and he's like, Pat. He looked and, where's Pat? And I'm like, back here. And then he just let me have it.
But what did he say?
First ran into him after the summer.
Oh, he goes, I don't know what you did this summer, but it obviously wasn't sit-ups. He was saying I put on a few pounds during the summer of 96.
Well, that's funny.
Hello.
He called me Patty, too. He always called me Patty.
Hello.
Yeah, no. I'm just wondering what happened to, how's Bone Crusher doing these days?
Bone Crusher? Is he talking about that Kyle Williams, that player that?
No idea what he's talking
about. I mean, his nickname was Bone Crusher, if I remember correctly, but mm-hmm. I don't know what that has to do with anything. Is that that same guy that calls?
Yeah.
What's his purpose?
See, I don't get that.
He's just,
I don't.
Did he get in trouble with females or something?
Well, yeah, he's still in jail. He's sentenced to like 30 years in jail for stuff that happened when he was at Purdue.
Well, then that's what it is.
Yeah, but what's he? I think he's trying to lash
tie
out.
Tie in with Pierre Pierce being.
Oh, okay.
A sexual creep.
But again, I don't get it because since
you sure.
Well, Bone Crusher stuff.
That's the only thing that makes.
Yeah, and Bone Crusher stuff didn't happen here though. It happened at Purdue.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, I'm not sure
maybe
what. I don't know.
In the basement,
putting his radon mitigation machine in.
Well, so called.
Well, they're calling me right now. They want to know if I got my results back, and I just you got to test the thing for 2 to 3 days, and so I'm gonna. Put it in the mail tomorrow, but not, my guess is they're going to say that's not enough time for to come out on the 10th. But, you know, I'm not they seem to think that I've already decided that I'm getting – I haven't decided yet. I need to see what the results are and what have you. So, but my neighbors did get – I know Was it Ryan that called in and said their
yeah.
My neighbor's bid, they looked it up. Their bid was $2,400 from a company a year ago to put a radon mitigation device. Now, when I looked up AI, the cost of them were between $800, $850 and $1,000 for the system. So you're telling me there's also over $1,000 worth of labor? So, because, but no, they said their estimate from a year ago was at $2,400. So that ain't cheap.
No, it isn't.
None of this crap is cheap.
So the device itself, I believe, is what Ryan was saying was $1,000, which makes sense. But then I guess there's another $1,500 in labor. So
yeah, probably.
So we'll see. So my guess is they're going to cancel their appointment on me since I'm going to put the thing in the mail tomorrow. It has to get to Carrollton, Texas. Now it's got special mailing. It could get down there in a couple. What's today? The 5th. Yeah. And what day is the 10th? Is that next Monday?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be. I don't think it'll be in Texas by then. Do you?
No.
So, I guess it was my fault for waiting too long. But I had stuff going on last week, and so. But we'll see. But yeah, they called and left me a message, and then I called them back during the break, and of course they put me on hold. And then you're waiting. You're number one, but I waited for like 5 minutes, and then I'll call them back. So I mean, eventually I plan to get it done, but it just may not be when this company wants me to do it. And I'd like to get a couple other bids too. Wouldn't I mean?
You bet.
Yeah, I'm not going to just stick to this. I mean, so
no, absolutely.
We'll see.
Get another couple bids.
We'll see what they say. So all right, back to the Hawks.
I'm still thinking about that guy's question about the coaches.
Well, I'm just trying.
There have to be some other coaches out there that are.
Oh, there have been
a lot of fun.
I mean, there have been. I mean, Greg Popovich, but that's not somebody I ever crossed paths with, and he's mean. He was some of his fun was being mean. You know, I mean, when he'd do those in-game interviews. But, I mean, Vivian Stringer wasn't, you know, a stand-up.
Warm and fuzzy.
Warm and fuzzy. Angie Lee wasn't certainly warm and fuzzy. Lisa Bluter was nice, but she wasn't a big jokester.
We had a lot of fun with Angie Lee, though, on the air.
We did.
Oh, Angie Lee was fun in her own way, but yeah. I just remember when she got into the face with that Connecticut policeman out in the airport.
Yeah.
You didn't want to mess with Angie.
No, but she would come on the air and sing.
Lump.
Well, yeah, no, Angie could be fun.
Of
and that was a little different atmosphere than being at a press conference. The problem with Angie is it just, once Vivian's players were gone, it just...
It died.
She couldn't recruit.
Yeah.
But no, she was a lot of fun. But no, I'm just trying to think, who's an Iowa coach and any that was just known for just their sense of humor, the, you know, craps and giggles? Who would you say, Tom?
Well, I'm trying to think, and I'm not coming up with... anything.
I'm not really either. They don't hire comedians. But Mike Leach, again, the more we think about this, the more he really was in a class by himself. Because, you know, I mean, I'm thinking of all the Big Ten football coaches right now. I mean, none of them really make me laugh. I mean, none of them really do. Ryan Day, Matt Campbell. I mean, Mike Loxley, none of them I would say have great... charismatic personalities.
And none of them are stand-up material.
No. No, there's very few that can fill that role, that can do both.
Dan Lanning's a little goofy sometimes.
Yeah, but I don't find him funny.
No,
he never
not
makes
really.
Me laugh.
Not really.
There's not many. And now, what's his name? The running back, or Deshaun Foster made me laugh, but that was tragedy I was laughing at when he was talking at Big Ten Media Day a few years ago. We were laughing at him, not with him.
Yeah.
That was sad.
It was
ridiculous.
But they're just really, I mean, Gino Auriemma isn't funny. I mean, to be honest, I think he's an ass.
No, he's an ass.
Don Staley's not funny.
Not at all.
I'm trying to think of some of the old
coaches. She's good on the commercials, though.
She's good on the commercials, but I still don't find her really funny on the commercials.
No.
I mean, she's okay.
No, I don't think
so. But she's just not funny. But there's not a lot of...
She's not as good as Nick Saban is. Nick Saban's...
No.
He plays that part. He plays that part perfectly.
Yes, he does.
John Calipari's not funny.
No.
Rick Barnes from Tennessee isn't funny. T.J. Altzelberger looks funny when he wears those tight shirts, but I don't find he looks like Kevin James, but he's not funny like Kevin James.
Hello.
Yeah, Mike Gundy and Steve Spurrier were pretty good.
Yeah, Gundy though, when he did that "I'm 40, I'm a man" thing, he kind of lost me on that one. But they were different. Plus, he had that mullet too. And Spurrier was okay, but Spurrier was also kind of condescending, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, a little bit.
But no, you're right. They were a little different. But I'm not sure if I'd call them funny. Spurrier just liked to talk down to the media because I don't think he had a lot of respect for us. And he was very arrogant. He had a lot of he was a great coach, and he didn't do much in the NFL, but he was a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. He was really good at what he did.
Kurt Cignetti is not a
stand-up. I don't find him funny.
No.
And I don't think he wants. I don't think he's trying to be funny. No,
not
either.
At all.
That's not really in his itinerary. He's just going to come out there, tell you how he feels, insult people, and move on.
But it's funny in a way.
But it's not funny. Just like Saban isn't funny, but he is sort of. Paterno never did anything that made me laugh. I never found him to be funny or anything in all the times I was around him. So, but no, that's a tough question. I'll think about it more before we.
But what Spaghetti says is. That's kind of it's funny.
Who are you talking about?
Cignetti. I mean, it's
thanks, caller.
It's funny that he says it. It just isn't necessarily funny.
Yeah, it's what's funny is how unfunny he is. If that makes sense. Yeah. I know that's not a word, but that's kind of how. That's kind of just like with Saban. Saban's not funny, but he's fun. Tom Brands. In response to the caller earlier, I've been in some press conferences where Tom Brands has made me laugh, even though he's not trying to make me laugh. He just makes me laugh because he's Tom Brands and the way he answers questions. You know, there's times where he was funnier when they were on top of the world, too. It's easier to be funny when you're winning more than anyone else. But Tom Brands is one of those guys who's got this natural gift of being able to make you laugh without trying to be funny, just by the way he conducts himself. I mean, he's pretty funny. So there's one right there, but there aren't many.
No, there aren't.
I'm trying to think of some of the greatest coaches during the. I mean, like Urban Meyer. He's not. Not funny.
No.
I mean, Mark Stoops. Mark Stoops. No. He's not funny. No. I mean, Dan McCarney. Yeah, at times I guess, but for the most part, Dan McCarney wasn't very funny. At least I didn't think so. Luke Fickell. Now, God, he's not funny at all. And
how about Matt Rhule?
No, God, no. He's not. He does not make me laugh at all. There's just not a lot of overlap between comedy and coaching.
Doesn't appear to be.
So Mike Leach was unique to himself. Was that? Oh, that's business. So
well, hard to tell.
Hello.
Yo, how about Bobby Bowden and Lou Holtz?
Bobby Bowden was funny at times. Lou Holtz was funny at times, but at the end, he turned kind of weird. But yeah, Lou Holtz at times. But Lou Holtz could be pretty intimidating and rough on his players, too. He was, but yeah, there. Lou Holtz did have his own unique sense of humor. I'll give him that. Now, he didn't make me laugh a lot, but he was a little more gregarious and outgoing than a lot of other coaches we've talked about. Bobby Bowden, yeah, he had that, you know, that good old boy approach to him. I'll give you that.
As long as he was winning.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot easier to be funny when you're winning. Yeah. You know, Jimmy Johnson. I mean, I don't find Jimmy Johnson was very funny. Remember Tom Landry? God.
Hey, Coach Patterson just called.
Okay.
Lee Corso.
Oh, yeah, Lee Corso.
Yeah.
Lee Corso.
Yeah,
was that? Okay. Definitely. Lee Corso was that. And I was going to mention him earlier, and I just lost my train of thought.
That's a good one.
Now, I didn't cover Lee Corso. He was done by the time I got there. But, yeah, and he took, of course, his personality and humor to the TV set. But, yes, Lee Corso.
That's a great one.
Lee Corso was probably the closest to Mike Leach without being quite as weird. Mike Leach was a little weird, but that was part of the fun.
Hello.
How about Bruce Pearl?
Yeah, Bruce Pearl could have fun. Now, he became a little bit too political for me at the end. But yes, Bruce Pearl, I mean, when he had him on here, remember, we had fun with him. He was easy to talk to, very gregarious. But I've seen him on Twitter just fighting with people about politics. And that kind of disappoints me. I wish they'd be able to separate the two. But that's his business. But no, that's another one where I put him in the category of, this guy had a pretty colorful personality.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Does.
I'd like to hear the flip side, too, sometimes. Who are the worst coaches to talk to? You know, you give them the John Anderson Award or something like that.
Okay, would you rather deal with John Anderson or Bobby Knight in a rage? Who would you rather deal with, Tom?
I'd go with Coach Anderson, okay.
The late Coach Anderson.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the worst ones. Yeah, of course you start right away with Bobby Knight. But I always thought Bo Ryan was a dick. I remember doing a teleconference with him the very first time he got hired, and I figured this guy might be a little humble coming from a small. He was just, for the very first time, I'm like, what is this guy's problem? Now, he was a great coach, don't get me wrong.
He was.
He just was kind of a dick.
My friend Eric, at the time when he was the coach, said, you got to love Bo Ryan.
No, I don't. No.
Think of anyone who is massively successful in pretty much any field. Most of them are kind of weird.
Well, I mean, like I said, to me, I never considered Barry Alvarez to be very warm and fuzzy. I just never did. He just always seemed to have sort of an edge to him, but maybe that's what made him a great coach too. I get it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Thanks for the call.
So now we're thinking of the mean. I mean, Bobby Knight's number one. I mean, he's like Mike Leach when it comes to being weird, to being mean. Bobby Knight's number one. I mean, I'm trying to think who else are coaches that just the first thing you think about when you think of them is how mean and miserable they were. Nobody stands out more than Bobby Knight, do they?
I don't think
so. Well, he's the first one that pops into my head, certainly.
Hello.
Three basketball coaches I forgot about. Digger Phelps, Al McGuire, and then Dick Vitale.
Yes.
He coached for a little while.
Yes.
And,
oh, yeah.
You know, honestly, I thought Raveling was a great. He wasn't charismatic, but
he could be entertaining.
A lot of anecdotes and stories.
Yeah, and I remember. I wasn't here. I was in college in high school. But he used to eat pizza at his press conferences, and I remember somebody telling me one time he was eating a piece of pizza, and a piece of sausage rolled off, bounced off the desk, and bounced on the floor. That made me laugh. Al McGuire was funny. He was funny, and he was the first real color guy from sidelines that I remember with Al McGuire and Billy Packer. Remember them?
Al McGuire
and
was
Digger Phelps
good.
Had a personality with him. No, you're right about that one. So, yeah, those are people that are pretty charismatic. I'm not sure if they're funny, but they're charismatic. Al McGuire, though, he made me laugh at times. Now, that was a good one.
Yeah, is a good one.
But a lot of – remember Don James, the Washington football coach? He was, like, listening to paint dry.
No, he was
– But he was a great coach.
He was arid, yeah.
Yeah, but he was a great coach.
Hello.
I remember Al McGuire said one time, bartenders are the most unappreciated people on earth.
What was the first part?
Bartenders are the most unappreciated people on earth. Was that Tommy's dad?
Yeah.
Wow.
Tommy's always appreciated a good bartender.
What do you think of that, Captain?
What do you think of that, Pat? I think
we're off and running.
I think we're going off.
Yeah, I think Lee Corso was the best answer.
Yeah, he would have been a fun press conference.
Yeah.
I bet his press conferences were fun. Remember, he beat Hayden in his first game. He trailed 26-3 at halftime and beat him 30-20. You imagine what that post game must have been like?
That was a hit. Boy, Iowa fans were pretty jacked about that.
Were you
game.
At that game?
Yeah, well, yes.
Oh, yeah, it was 26-3 at halftime. And remember, this was coming off 19 straight years of no winning seasons, and then boom, Iowa gave up 27 unanswered points in the second half.
That was unfortunate, but we had been so bad that, you know, you could see even your crazy fans could see the improvement
in
the first
and
half.
Phil Seuss was the quarterback. That's what blew me away. Phil Seuss went from being like fifth string safety, and all of a sudden Hayden comes in, makes him a quarterback.
Is he a lefty?
He was a lefty who played at Dowling. He was 2 years ahead of my brother. He played on one of the greatest Dowling teams ever to not win a state championship, and he was a really good quarterback, and I never would have imagined that he would have been moved to safety because he wasn't real big, but then Hayden moved him back to quarterback. And I mean, the thing with Hayden, too, he could be funny, but remember the famous line from the 70s when they only got beat 21-6 at Oklahoma, and remember when Hayden said, if I see anyone smiling, I'll smack him? That was Hayden sending a message. Hayden could be funny when he needed to be, but Hayden had a serious side to him too. I mean, he felt that team needed that at that time, and I think he was right. You know, that team ended up going 5-6 and what have you. But that was Billy Sims the year after he had won the Heisman Trophy, and Iowa was competitive. They stuck with Oklahoma in that game. I remember watching it.
Yep.
And they still lost 21-6, and Hayden was not about moral victories.
No, he was never about
moral victories. You know, but Hayden used to have some fun with us too. But Hayden used to, again, he would use the media as distractions to get points across, and that was his psychological approach taking effect.
We're going to
Call it a break.
Well, it's 10:30.
Yeah.
No, this was a quick.
Do some police.
No,
report?
Nice calls today. This was fun. Yeah. Everybody, stay dry.
Okay, police reports with Captain Steve and Tommy Lang coming up next. HawkFanatic.com. Check it out. It's free.